Good morning, brethren. Happy Sabbath to everyone. Very happy to be here. And I notice that the front of the bulletin, I think they made it for me because it covers my my subject, the Day of Atonement. And I would like to read it to begin. Also, the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict your souls. On the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. The Day of Atonement. It's it's not the most solemn, but it's one of the most solemn holy days that Christians keep. And I named this split sermon Day of Atonement simply. And SBS is to remind ourselves of God's great plan for mankind. And we shall notice as we go along that every holy day is connected to the other. God planned it in such a way that it's all intertwined in the same way that He's making us all one. God's holy days were given to us to prepare us for that future time when God's government comes into place. And all those who love Him are His people, serving Him in His kingdom. He gave us the holy days. Now you know that many today keep all types of days that man made up. And they overlook and even make fun of those who keep the days that God gave us to keep. He gave us the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. We find that in Exodus, the 12th chapter. He gave us Pentecost, which we find in Acts, 2nd chapter. Trumpets, which we find in Leviticus 23. The Day of Atonement, which we are about to celebrate in the next few days. Leviticus 16. The Feast of Tabernacles, Leviticus 23, and the Last Great Day, and they're all joined together. And the Lord made it clear that all His holy days are to be kept. And we do not decide which one we keep and which one we don't keep. And if we kept all the holy days, like we do in God's church, we wouldn't have time for Christmas and Easter and the other things because God didn't tell us to do it anyway. So Christians keep them and love them all over the world. After freeing His people from Egypt, our Lord delivered them through His servant Moses an outline of His plan of salvation. In this outline, our Lord shows through the feast days how this plan of salvation shall be executed, step by step. At Passover, we are chosen and sanctified by the blood of Christ. What an honor that we were called to this at a time when the world is in such chaos, so much craziness all over. And the Lord called a handful of us, and you know, He calls us the little flock, and it is so true. It is so true. We are the little flock. When we compare our organization with a worldly organization, we probably come in 1 or 2% compared to them. So during the days of unleavened bread, we celebrate a time in our lives which each Christian works for every day, a time when we shall have put sin out of our lives, to be totally unleavened with the help of the power and the Spirit of our God. We can do it, and all we have to do is hang in and keep practicing what God tells us, and we will achieve what the Lord promises. As a matter of fact, it has already been given to us. All we have to do is be obedient and follow what the Lord tells us. At the Feast of Pentecost, it pictures not only the giving of the Holy Spirit to God's people, at that first remarkable and incomparable event when the Apostle Peter gave his unforgettable sermon. Not just then, not only then. It also pictures a time in the future when our Lord gives us the strength and the power that we need to continue what we learned and practiced during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, as we prepare to rule with him. At the Feast of Trumpets, we keep the vision alive as we celebrate and look forward to the second coming of our Lord. That would be such a happy time. I try to imagine it sometimes. When Christ comes, the scripture tells us, all eyes shall see him. All eyes shall see him. He comes in the clouds, and I guess with that shout, like a trumpet, no one can say, well, I didn't hear. And with the light he will bring, remember that in the new Jerusalem, there will be no sun, no moon. A light and a energy will come from the Father and the Son. No one will be able to say, I didn't see him, I didn't hear, because he will be coming with great power. At the Feast of Trumpets, we keep that vision alive. We celebrate and we look forward to the second coming. And now we celebrate the Day of Atonement, of course, in a few days. A time when Christ shall be recognized for his great sacrifice, and Satan shall have the weight of all sin placed on his shoulder. On this day, we afflict our souls by fasting. This helps us to remember our frailty of body. It reminds us how much we rely on the Lord for life and sustenance. It reminds us how much Christ suffered for us to save us from certain death. One day without food, and we are ready to just keel over. I remember one member back in Worldwide was looking at the speaker on that day, and she said, "Oh, he looked like a big hamburger." She couldn't keep her mind off food. She was so hungry, and it was the first time that she was doing this. Now, the word atonement, it means to be at one with. So atonement, and even if you break that word up into syllables, what do we get? At one meant. To be joined to Christ and to the Lord and to his Father, our loving God. And with all other, with every other Christian. And what a great time that will be when we all on one page, we all thinking the same thing, doing the same thing, and working for the same goal. That would be a great time. And we remembered a trumpet that Jesus reconciled us to his Father. We couldn't approach the Lord before. We had to wait to be called by the Lord, like Abraham and the other patriarchs. But when Jesus came, he reconciled us to God. He loved us so much, he reconciled us to his Father while we were yet sinners. Today, we can speak of being at one with Christ. How can we become at one with Christ? Well, there are two ways that we can be at one with Christ. Being joined to Christ. The scriptures tell us that at some point we will be his bride. And we will be joined together in the same marriage that Madhu was speaking about. And we will be with him forever. Forever with Christ and our God. We begin the journey by being baptized and raised with him in newness of life. Let us turn to a few scriptures that tells us what this process is like. I have quite a few scriptures today, so I'm going to use my phone. And let's turn first to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6. And verse 17. And it says, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. It can't be like a good friend you have who does one thing when you're not around and something else when you're with them. No, when you are in Christ, you are fully Christ. You're fully his friend. He is fully your friend. Let's turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. And verse 30. And it says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And all these scriptures are telling you that we are at one with Christ if we follow the things that he tells us. Let's go to Romans, the 6th chapter. Verses 3 to 7. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like Christ was raised up from the dead by glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. And aren't we all looking forward to that? The time when we never have to worry about the things that we have to do in this life to keep ourselves going. The things that we have to do to protect ourselves from the environment and from the ones around us who are just looking out to harm. We won't have to do that anymore. That would be all over. At one with Christ. Let's go to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. All the scriptures show us that we will be at one with Christ at some point. He who endures to the end, I think you remember that. Third chapter of Colossians. And 1-4, we read. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. If we're risen with Christ, we do not go out and do the things we used to do before. We do not do the things which we know will keep us back. We will do the things that are of Christ, the things which are above. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. The things of the earth, most of it, is of no value. We just make it valuable to us because we're looking for the wrong thing, and we're looking for excitement, and we're looking for things that would make us happy temporarily, but we don't need them. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So let's look forward to that time. Let us look forward to that time. So we see the union with Christ in the Passover and in all the holy days. And let's look at John, the 13th chapter. And verse 8. And Christ was talking to his apostles, and Peter answered, and he said unto him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. We are one. Christ is telling us we are one, and we have to act like one. As Mr. Davis said in his sermon the other day, it's not that the boss can't wash my feet because he's too big. And this is Christ, this is the boss of bosses telling you, we have to do it for each other. And we can't be such a boss that we don't feel the pain of the people that we're in charge of. We have to be attuned to each other. He commands us to do the same. Let's look again at we go to Revelation, the 20th chapter. Even if this is the fall holy day season, we see that each holy day is a building block to our salvation and of being at one with Christ. We cannot have one without the other. Let's go to Revelation, the 20th chapter, verses 1-4. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had his mark upon his foreheads or in their hands, and they reigned with Christ. They were atoned with Christ. And it's them and us atoned with Christ. But this is only the beginning of being forever. At this point, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. We reign with Christ in the millennium. Again, in Revelation 20, let's go to verse 7 through 10. It is really something, the way all the scriptures link up together, all leading to the same place. And we'll go from verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. No more evil, no more devil to be in our way, because we will be united with God fully. That's the best part, where he's cast into the lake of fire, where he will be tormented forever, never more again having influence over mankind. Then verse 12 shows that other brethren will join us during the white throne judgment period. The very best part, our Father and God will at last bring the new Jerusalem to earth. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. Many say today that your works don't matter. You're saved by grace, and it doesn't matter what your works are. You're saved, and you're just going to be okay. Don't worry about it. But it tells you here that you'll be judged according to your works. So you're given that free gift, but if you don't treat it in the right way, show the appreciation, and do the right thing, then it will be taken away from you. And I remember in one scripture, the Apostle Paul is saying, I have to do things right, lest I lose my crown. If the Apostle Paul says it, I believe it. All right, and then let's look now at John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter. verse 16. Verse 16 says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And verse 18 says, "Where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the midst." And then 22 says, "Pilate answered, 'What I have written, I have written.' Then the soldiers..." Wait, I'm sorry, this is... That's not the right... I touched the wrong thing. Okay, here we go. Okay, I touched the wrong thing there. And here it is. Jesus is saying, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." That's 18 says, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He's comforting and assuring us that we'll be okay as long as we do his will. And 22, Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." These are all scriptures that show that we are atoned to Christ as long as we do what he says and not faint. Keep up trying. Never give up, no matter what happens. We give up and we endure to the end, and we'll make it. Christ sent us his spirit so we can begin to think like him, follow in his footsteps and overcome the world as he overcame. Let's go to Revelation 3rd chapter. And in verse 21, he's given us some more encouragement and comfort. And he says, "To him that overcome, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." He who has an ear, let him hear. Encouragement. And then he encourages us to have hope and comfort each other. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 13 through 18. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And this is the Apostle Paul talking. "Do not be sorrowful," he said, "even as others which have no hope. We have hope. We know, and we've been taught, when someone dies, it's sad. We have lost someone, and there will be pain, but it's not lost, and we must not feel, this is the end of it. That person will, we will see that person again, and if they have lived God's way, they will be there with us as well, forever. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. So Christ is atoning us, whether we live today or whether we lived 1,000 years ago. Nobody is lost. Everybody is included in that wonderful gift that the Lord has given us. As we look to the coming of the kingdom, let us do so with joy, knowing that we will be truly at one with Christ. He's our Savior who died for us and who is atoning us. Everything that is made possible for atonement comes from him. And that's what he's doing for us. He's coming again. He will be a King of Kings. And he will be there for us, and we'll be his priests and his kings. And we'll reign with him until our Father brings the new Jerusalem to earth and dwell with us. What a wonderful promise.